When we were small, we went along with them here to the to Buskin, you know, before Buskin was. But there was a experimental farm out there. But
in the flats, was it?
Yeah, somewhere on the flats. I don't know just about where his, but he covered quite a bit of acreage. He had experimental type grains, you know, he was growing. And he used, of all things, fish out of the creeks. I mean, they would throw up their heads in horror now. Uh-huh. But Kelly said that they used to just shovel that stuff onto the fields, you know, humpies, and they would just leave them there to rot. And you can imagine.
Oh, I'm sure
flies.
How rich it was.
Well, of course it was rich, but it must have been terribly unsightly, and it must have smelled horribly, you know. And the flies, I can imagine, were there in droves. But we used to, when I was small, we used to go out to Buskin in the fall and camp right on the beach, on the banks there. And we'd dry fish, you know, or people would salt fish too.
Mostly reds then?
No,
humpies,
no, humpies. Humpies is the principal
for
fish
drying.
Here anyway. And really, they considered humpies better because humpies weren't.
Well, they dry better, don't they?
Well, they no, not any better. They do and they don't. But the thing about it is this, is that they're not so rich. And they avoided really rich foods, you know, at certain times. So they preferred the humpies. And and of course, there was a lot of humpies.
Yeah. So your mother grew up on Woody.
Yes.
And then they moved to... She
grew up on Woody, and she married and lived on Woody, and continued to live there.
Okay, so what was your maiden name?
My Fidea. We were
Fidea,
one of the old families.
Are you writing a book?
Well, I don't know what this could turn into. What happened was the Rick Connect over at Canna got a grant from the National Park Service. And they just want to record all the elders who have some experience with those old villages that are no longer around to get it down while you're still around. And who knows what'll happen with it, but right now they're just interested in getting it down.
Well, that's a good idea. So. I think that's a good idea because too much of the information is lost.
Well,
know?
People disappear every, you know, every year. There are a few more gone. And
That's right. But after my mother, my mother and father were married right out of the mission, you know, the Kodiak Baptist mission. They married right out of there, and then of course they went back to his family's way of living, which was strictly Native style. And she was raised in a different atmosphere entirely.
Right.
I mean, they had cooks from Cape Cod, and the matrons were from some Middle Western or Middle Eastern
state.
Whoever
the mission
yes,
sent out
that's
here.
Right. And they were strictly in the form of missionaries, you know. I mean, no matter what we called them, they were Baptist missionaries, and they were pretty staunch about the way they believed. In fact, my mother was probably a Baptist the day she died. She just loved them. I'm not crazy about them, but she thought they were wonderful. And anyway, she married out of the mission, and then they went to live with, they had a little house on this lake, that the lower lake. I hear that the upper lake has just about disappeared over there.
Yeah, I've walked around there before, and I've never come out to just where that upper lake is.
Well,
when
you
they
just,
took the
it's,
ice.
There's just, no, it's it was there up until the spring. It's just, the lower lake covers quite a territory, and then you just across as you get up the, you come up off of the dock, you see this lake here. And right kitty corner, a few steps up, is Upper Lake, and it was
quite
a long lake. But apparently parts of it, Rick might be interested in this, parts of it have just washed out, and Dick said that there was brick and things like that, because apparently it was, parts of it were man-made, you know.
Yeah. Well, because I understand they dammed it up to make the ice thicker at certain
Well,
times
yes, and yes, and this is what, when I was a child, they were still, the missions were still cutting ice there,
they
you
were.
Know, because they were not they were only doing it for their own use. There used to be an ice house. It's amazing how long that they could keep that ice, you know, just under sawdust and things.
Did they still have the sawmill operating when you were a child?
Well, they had a sawmill over there, but the sawmill had nothing to do with a mission or anything, and it wasn't operating. The sawmill was set into motion by the, I forget which battalion of army that came in to that just set up camps, and they were cutting lumber to outfit the other camps on the island. And so when were Hennessy and that gang? Let's see, I was about 25, I guess. I was about 25. I'm 75 now. That's 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So you see, the sawmill was there after my mother, was about 50 some odd years old then herself.
Because I'd understood there was a sawmill that provided sawdust for the ice operation back in the 1800s.
Well,
but that must have been an earlier.
Well, it must have been the AC company business that was going on, because they probably were cutting lumber and things like that for their own use. And I don't know what those houses like our house, not our own, not yours and mine, but Mama's house, were made of logs. Were they spruce
they logs?
Were
all, they were all logs.
Were they spruce?
What else could they have? You couldn't. No, you
no but I mean, were they spruce?
That's got to have to be spruce.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So they probably.
That's all they've had. They've never had anything else.
Yeah. So they
How
had.
How many buildings were still left when you lived there?
Well, let's see. There were. There was a radio station that was entire.
And that was over on the east side of
the
island?
No, that was on the west side.
The west.
Radio station, the Navy radio station was on the west side of the island, right in that area where the dock is and the tanks and things.
Right.
There was a BOQ sort of. There was housing for about four or five families, huh? Radio station? I might have, but I might not be able to find them. I'll look.
Okay.
And there was housing for four or five families there, plus a bachelor's quarters, you know.
Oh, I see.
And then they had, and what's standing over there now is a concrete building that they built about, in the 1930s, no, 1920s, they built that for a shop to set up all their radio equipment and all that stuff. It was a machine shop, that's right. And of course, when the FAA came in 1942, when they started building on the other side, then they combined the two areas, you know, they would use, but then by then, when the FAA moved out, there was, I don't know who raised those buildings there.
So when did you leave Woody?
Well, we left Woody in 1952, I think.
Mm-hmm. How many families were still left at that time?
There weren't any but my mother and her family. And, my sister was moved. And Johnny Pafloff might have been there. And
he's still there now, is he?
Yes. Well, he's not Johnny Pavlov. Johnny Malachnak.
But he goes by that. Pavlov.
Yeah. Well, really, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't.
Uh-huh.
I think that probably was all the native people that lived over there. Oh, the Pavlovs. There was Nicholas. Oh, that's right. And then my sister-in-law, who had remarried after her husband passed away.
Uh-huh. I have here the. I believe it's 1939 census. It shows who was there in 1939, so that probably bring a few names back.
1939.
Mm-hmm. Some
other
families.
Oh yeah.
Now
was
the village called Longwood? Was that the name of the post office? Or is that
no,
something
Longwood
screwed up?
No, Longwood was the name
the
of the school.
Oh, so that was the Baptist school.
I have my no, it wasn't.
The
it was
BIA,
a territorial.
Okay.
Territorial school.
Okay.
And I have a graduation. What do you call it, from the Longwood School, when I graduated from the grade school to high school. Pauline Anderson. Oh, well, see, these people were kind of itinerant, you know. Mm-hmm. They would come in sometimes, and then they would, well, these are,
that
these
Anderson
are,
family.
This is my family here.
The Chabotnois?
Well, Chabotnois.
Chabotnois,
this is my mother here.
Ellidge.
She married Mickey, Mike, rather, and then these are my brothers, see. And so the in 1939, these are the people that were there, Mom and her family. Now, Roland, I don't know. Barbara Holland, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought Barbara had died before this. And this was 1939? 1939. Yeah, well, Gabe Lowell, Sarah Tunahan, yeah. Well, see, I can tell you just about where everybody moved to. And Angeline was married to Stefan, then, see.
Mm-hmm. And that's Johnny's family. I think it seemed like on one of these it might have been
right here. Mm-hmm. Just Dora Miller was Barbara's stepmother, and these are the Pavlovs. Mm-hmm. Let's see, LMA. That's not of who? Well, her name is Ellen May. See, these are us here.
Her name was Ellen?
Yeah, Ellen May. And my name is Nathalie, not so Nathalie.
L-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, so this is your husband?
Yeah, this is my husband. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's another one, too, Judith. Judith Semyonov isn't on here.
Was she younger, or was she just not, maybe she didn't...
Well, let's see, maybe she wasn't born yet. You know, she might not have been. Kelly Jr. was...
Six months old.
Yeah, well, see Judy and Christina. But I can tell you where most of these families, see, they just kind of moved when the school mm-hmm. closed off. You know, mm-hmm. pretty soon there wasn't any, well, they weren't able to, and these were the Sundbergs.
Are any of them still around?
Well, there's very few of them here in Kodiak. There's Rudolph Jr. is around. Rudolph Sr. has passed on. Mm-hmm. Lillian and her family moved out of the state. Mm-hmm. Alexandra Tunahan married and moved. Anita Tunahan married and moved.
I know Mike Tunahan's still down in Old Harbor, but he's the only one I know.
Tunahawks, they moved to Old Harbor. Well, see, the mother of Dolchich, well, her name was Dunya. I don't know who. This one would be mother of whom? Yeah, well, she
I think
must
there
be
are a lot of inaccuracies
of
in there, too.
Yeah, Elaine, John, Mike, Nikki, and Pete, and William. Let's see, William and Pete, and Kostya, and John are all dead. I don't know. I think Alexandra is the only, and Anita probably are the only ones living here in this town. And the Sundbergs, there's only Esther Sundberg, who's Esther Donato now, and she's here. And see, they moved off of the island. And I think that one of the reasons why people moved is because there was no school, you know.
When that territorial school closed, decided to come to town or to go somewhere else.
It wasn't a question of, you know, it was almost a need. You have to. If you had mm-hmm. children, you moved, you mm-hmm. know. The Malecknacks didn't move. They stayed. And eventually she died. He died.
Stefan died.
He died, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she died, and he died. And the Pavlovs there was, let's see, and Dorothy Martin, Maddie. Let's see, Mike and Ann were the sons and daughters of Pete Papoff, who weren't any. Agnes and Dorothy and Martin and Matty were children of Angeline from a former marriage. And they moved on. See, these two were sent to the mission. Ann and Mike were sent to the mission and gradually just left Kodiak for other places, you know, when they find places.
So did the mission, what year did the mission move their operations off of the island?
I think in 1931.
Oh, so that was quite early, so that they didn't have so the territorial school took the place of the mission school.
There wasn't a mission school
They just had
it was a territorial school, and we entirely different operation. And the mission didn't conduct school of any sort. They didn't have a school of any sort. But the territorial school was a school per se, you know. And then the BIA, when our school closed down for two or three years, and then they, through somebody's efforts, they brought in the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs School, which is an entirely different type of thing, you know. And I think I have a picture of the children. Of the school children. I'm not sure.
Did any of your children go to the BIA school?
Oh, yes. Well, we were forced to. They have to go to school. There was nothing else, you know. So it was not a question of wanting to move. It was a question of moving because for the good of your kids, you know. And so we moved to town. Well, Kelly and I moved to town over here with our children. I think Judy was the smallest one at the time. See, we waited quite a while. And in the course of the years, you know, and not too long after, the Tunahans, three of them drowned.
Golly.
Yeah, John and, John was a son of, Johnny. He had a son named Willie, that's right. So that Dunya here, of Dotya, and Pete, and John, and his wife, oh, this must have been she, drowned coming to town.
Oh, golly. So they were just going in a dory or something?
Yes, they were going in a dory. And this is in 1940. Yeah, in about 1940 when the army was over there, because they're the ones that pulled them out of the water, and they, of course, were already too far gone. The Pavlovs just, the girls married off, and some of them moved up. Martin moved to the States with his family. Matty, no one knows where she's at. Mike and Anna live in California someplace. And Nicholas has expired. There's none of these people left at all right here. These are gone.
Right. Johnny.
Malekna. And of us, like I say, we moved because there wasn't any school and there wasn't any imminent, you know. So we moved to Kodiak and lived over here until 1948 or 1952, I'm not really sure. I didn't keep records in those days. And then when we had friends in the FAA, of course, and communicating, they informed us that if Kelly would apply for a job that was open, the coming open in the maintenance, which called, that they would have enough children to petition for a school, for a regular school on Woody Island. So, wonderful. We bought back our house over there, and we moved back, and lo and behold, here we were with our school, you know, the school that's standing there. And so we moved back and stayed there until about the time that Eisenhower was elected presidents, and they froze all leaves. I don't know what where the connection was anyplace. They froze all leaves, you know, especially government workers. Mm-hmm. And so Kelly resigned. And, you know, the children and I were just not going to move. I was not going to leave because it was home, you know. Yeah. And we only did it for about 6 months and then had to move because it was too difficult trying to live. He was out over here fishing and I was over there with the children.
Prior to the FAA job, had he been fishing or what was...
Well, yes, he's a fisherman. But then in the wintertime, he worked at the various construction jobs and things like that here. He worked on the base when they built up the base in 1938. And he worked at for Pat Lynch Construction and for another construction company, I forget. But always
most of the work
something.
Was off of the island.
Yeah.
There wasn't too much employment on Woody.
Well, no, there wasn't any. There wasn't any except for the FAA work, you know, and that was only for about, 6 or 7 years, I think, something like that. And then, of course, we had to move back to Kodiak because, and they did keep the, and of course, there was a lot of difficulty with that. Our children, when they reached high school age, would have to commute, you know.
Yeah, and did you have kickers at that time, or I'm sure during the war the
fuel was really short. No,
it was mostly just rowing.
This wasn't during the war. This was after the war was over, and the FAA was running a water taxi. They had a good-sized boat called the Federa, and the children rowed back
and
forth
on
that.
So that was on a daily.
Yeah, that was on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot, when you stop to think, there's a lot of hardship because that is a hardship, you know, having to get the kids ready.
That much earlier for them.
We had three children that had to catch the boat and make it over to town and up to school and then back again down, you know, and to catch the boat back to Woody Island every day, you know. So it was a hardship. I didn't realize at the time when you're young, you just don't pay attention to those kinds of things. But and then of course the people that were Catholic sent their children, their small children, to school over here, you know, to the Catholic school. So imagine, I don't know what those mothers were thinking of. I would just go kind of silly if my little ones were away, you know, during the day. As it was, the school was. By then, see, when I was growing up, and when most of my children were growing up, the school was on West Woody. But after the FAA, the FAA agreed to build a school, you know, and they built one of these Baker buildings. They put up a school over on East Woody, where the building.
Was that kind of up on that hill there, or was it?
Yes,
down?
It's on the hill.
Okay.
Because and you can look over at Long Island from the hill. Yeah. So. And I think
so. That was a bit of a walk for them, or you had to.
No. See, by then FAA maintained there was 200 employees.
Okay, I didn't realize.
And Kelly drove, for them. You know, they picked up the kids. They picked the kids on East Woody, drove them to West Woody. They caught the boat, and there was a truck or a Suburban down there to meet them all the time. So they always had rides, and we had communication between the two places all the time. You know. So it was a very, very good job, and certainly comfortable, you know, for us. The children were well taken care of. The boatsman was a good boatsman, but I don't know. We've been always taught to respect the weather, and believe me, sometimes those kids would come over in some awful weather, you know, some pretty awful weather, but they did. Mm-hmm. And so this then was after 42. This was in the 40s and in the 50s until the FAA moved off of there. And by the time the FAA moved off of there, my mother had moved over to Kodiak. Yeah, because for a while and there was only my brother James left over on the island, and my sister-in-law Mary, who had married Nicholas Pavlov here. And her three children. her three children, and she later died, and of course Nicholas died, and this Karabelnikov and this boy, these
Johnny
two,
Holland.
Yeah, Johnny Holland. This, well, he was Johnny Karabelnikov. He's living in Idaho, but this fellow, his uncle, is dead, and she died in the early 1940s. As Sarah Lowell, Gabe Lowell, passed on, and his daughter, she had a clubfoot. He sent her to her aunt and uncle in Old Harbor.
Is her name Lowell also?
Yes. Well, she's not Lowell anymore. She's, what is her name? It's not Shugak. I forget. I just said Kuzma Tudawan. I was trying to think of that bachelor. I guess his daughter was gone by that time.
Would you say there was kind of a turning point when a lot of families left?
Well, I would say that within this 1 year, you know, this with this 10 years, that most everybody, you know, gradually was gone. And it was mostly because the school had closed down.
And that was around 1941?
Yeah.
And that was when the this territorial school closed.
Well, the BIA, yeah, and that wasn't in on Woody Island very long either. I don't think it was more than 4 or 5 years at the very most.
Oh, really?
You know, because the time lapse escapes me. I just don't remember all of that. But
were there about the same number of families at that time, or were there quite a few more when you were a kid growing up?
Well, let's see. There was. I can probably remember most of the families. There was, just going by these, there was all of the, there was the Pavlovs. But see, they had the kind of an estate the Pavlovs had, where the father lived on the upper area. There was another son lived down here, and a son lived down here, you know.
Was that on the west side of the island, or
west side? There wasn't anything up until 1940 thing, 42. There wasn't anything on Woody Island except in the front of the island,
yeah.
You know. So the Pavlovs were there, mm-hmm. And let's see, the Pavlovs and the Chabotnoys weren't. They weren't Chabotnoys then. They were Fedeyevs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my family. The Millers, and there was old John Miller, Fedora, and Barbara. That was Barbara Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuzma.
Oh, is that a native name?
Yeah, Kuzma, he was the chief. My father was a chief of the village for a while, but Kuzma was the chief.
Was he the last chief at Woody?
This guy, yeah, mm-hmm. He was. Then there was the Pavlovs, and Angeline was a Pavlov. Then there was Melania. There was a Mike and there was Nick and Stepan, and their mother Melania and her husband Alun. What was Alun? Peninger, I think his name was. There was that family, the Maliknik.
So is Maliknik her second husband's name?
Or yeah, okay. No, Maliknik was her first. No, I'm getting confused. Yeah, her second husband. Her third husband, because she was married before to a fellow from Uzinki.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was and you couldn't count this. We came on, I was part of the Fidea family, so we didn't. Stanley, Andrew Stanley is, well, what do they have here, 8 months in Kodiak?
Oh, he probably just, didn't, he was at the time of the census, he was living in Kodiak, I guess.
He moved into, I don't know when he moved to Woody Island, but he was one of the people that that escaped from Russia, apparently, during
during the revolution?
Mm-hmm. And he has some descendants here. Let's see, George Stanley, not George
down in
Stanley.
Old Harbor, those Stanleys?
Old Harbor, Walter. Stanley and I think Brenda is his daughter's name. Mm-hmm. The Sundbergs didn't live over there either. They grabbed Rudolph Senior came from over here and married one of the Pavlov daughters. Mm-hmm. So the Tanahans lived on Woody Island, but they were from Old Harbor. And let's see.
So were
then
they there when you were growing up?
Yes, yeah. Then there was the Andersons, who are there intermittently. One, this Pauline Anderson and them, they lived in Kodiak, but there was another Inga family, let's see, that they called him old man Yellow Pants, the Anderson. He was Inga. He was kind of and his wife was a local midwife. She looked after all the ladies. And
so Inga was the family name?
Yes.
Old Man Yellow Pants.
Well, we called that.
Was there an Ellie nickname?
No.
Did that come from Ellie?
No, it came from Dr. Learn. He was head of the mission. He couldn't remember his name, and Mr. Inga always wore yellow pants, you know, and so they called him Old Man Yellow Pants. In fact, it got to be such a usual thing, we just even couldn't remember the names.
Uh-huh.
And then there was the...
Who was that neighbor of ours?
That was Gavrilo, but that was before that they were Ignatans. So there had to be... Let's see, the Ingers, the Andersons, the Tanahans, the Malignacs.
When was Georgia with it? Georgie?
Oh, that was later, dear.
Huh?
That was later, yeah. Then there was the Millers, there were the Fideoffs, there was...
So you think altogether there were about the same number of families when you were young as
who are them people
when
that
your kids were in?
They're next to a Pavlos there.
Oh, that was Pete Kapchan, not Kapchan, but
that was their name.
You mean that house in between Tanoa?
Well, it's about where John and Dick lived up in the woods there, but in the same area where the Pavlos lived.
I was trying to think of that Izuma, but his last name was. It wasn't Kapchan. I'll think of it. But there was as many people, because of the teenagers, I remember when we used to go out masquerading and things, of the teenagers, the ones of us from 13 to 15, 16 years old, there must have been about five of us girls, so there was, you know, quite a few teenagers and certainly lots of children.
Mm-hmm. So you still did masking and things like
oh,
that?
Oh, yes, very definitely. That only went out of... It was discontinued only because of the war, you know.
Really?
All
and
of the
it,
a lot of
the
good things.
That,
no,
the war.
No, they wouldn't allow it. You know, the town wasn't under martial law, but it was very nearly like that. You couldn't leave mm-hmm. town after sunset and these kinds mm-hmm. of things. You couldn't go in the harbor or anything. It was, mm-hmm. There was no harbor here, of course. When you came in, you just landed on any beach. And, you know, I must say it was much nicer than it is now. You can't take a dory any place. And we used to often, in the summertime, in the wintertime, the men always took care of things, you know. But in the summertime when Kelly was gone fishing, and those were the days when he was gone for 3 months, you know, mm-hmm. fishing. And they fished every day but the weekends. And we would just bundle the kids in a dory and roll over to town, you know. We didn't. Motors were just something that were quite new, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't use them all the time, so.
Yeah.
And Shank's Mirror is, you know, all of us knew how to row a skiff, you know. So we would row to town and get our groceries and go back again. That was really, there's something to be said for it. I really, truly enjoyed it, and I don't think that we'd probably still be over there if they had a school, you know, mm-hmm. if they had kept the school. My mother finally moved because, then again, too, no work. So my brother, of course, had to work here in town, the brother that lived with her. And so she eventually moved to town before we did, I think.
How about, you said that, was the name Tutswa, or Kutswa was the chief?
Kuzma.
And how long was he still out there? How long was he still, about what year do you think?
Oh, I don't remember. He probably died somewhere around in the early 40s. Because we were living in Andy Stanley's house when, remember, Dad, when, and your dad was staying with us, when, the priest came over to have services for Lent, and I remember your dad had communion, and Guzma was a chief then.
Was he alive then?
Sure, he was alive then. So it had to be in the 40s.
Was there still a Russian church on Woody at
that
time?
Oh yes, very definitely. There was a Russian church up until almost 1950. I mean, but
did that burn down, or was it?
No, it was just kind of taken apart. As far as I know, nobody.
Some guy burned it up for wood.
Some guy burned it up for wood. Yeah.
Golly, what a shame.
Yeah. We used to go out and beachcomb was started burning the church up.
One of the Pavlov girls took up with an itinerant fellow, and of course, I mean, living in a place like that, you don't see all that much of your neighbors. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make myself. Would you like a cup of tea?
Yeah, I'd love a cup of tea. That'd be nice.
And then, of course, we usually minded our own business. I kept up a good relationship with Angeline. I mean, that bunch up on the upper end drank all the time.
Uh-huh. So that was a problem. Alcohol was a problem at that time, even.
Oh, yeah. They were really nice people. Angeline and I used to go out to picking berries and things like that.
Uh-huh.
We'd have to walk across the lake, not across the lake, but we'd have to walk around the lake
uh-huh.
to get to her place. And we'd make a date to go out, and we'd spend all day out in the woods picking mm-hmm. blueberries. And of course, somebody planted rabbit on the island, and so that finished off the blueberries. And
uh-huh.
We didn't have any more blueberries.
I was over there last fall picking Kalina berries.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I didn't see it. Didn't see many blueberries at all.
No, there isn't. Because when Freddie, our son. We lost a boy in Vietnam. He was 14 years old, and we went made a trip over to the island or something. And we went to we walked. He and I, being that's a small island, you know almost every square foot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He and I walked all the way back to the other side. Hello. Yeah. Yeah, listen. I don't know if I was taking something on myself that I shouldn't have, but I called Margie, you know, because I was kind of disturbed about her son about her grandson coming up here. Yeah, well, that's what I told him too. And she said that he was pretty determined. And I said, and I also explained how what a tough, you know, how expensive it was, and how. Yeah, but yeah, that's right. I laid it on pretty thick, Buster, because it's true. It's true. And I said, and I hope you're not expecting us to take him in or anything, because Kelly and I are old, and it's just not what we want to do, you know. And anyway, she said that he would be under Mike Waller's wing. Well. Well, I told her the same thing. She said he'd had some sort of a injury or things, and he got a fairly good payoff. Did she tell you that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well. Well, I explained to Margie I was well armed. I got prices and things like that, you know, so she'd know. I just wanted to.
If I've met him, it's just been very briefly. I know. I was happy to hear that they got him as president. Whatever him is, it president that his position is.
Yes, he's the yeah. president. He's a good one. He's a good one. He's had lots of training for his job, and the Canada's is fortunate in having him, because he's worked on both ends, you know. Mm-hmm. He's worked on the giving end, and he's on the receiving end now. Mm-hmm. And he understands all the intricacies of budgeting and proposals and money. Mm-hmm. And things like that. It seems to, they get bogged down with, I used to work at camp, and it was fun, we enjoyed it. Of course, when I worked there, we were working on a budget of maybe about $1 million, and now they're more like $7 million, I think.
Yeah, it's really kind of big.
And of course, when I worked, there were most of the departments and things were headed by natives. We had a health department, which was just, and we had the CHAP program, and they didn't even have the BCPSO program yet. Because I resigned in 1977. So that's been quite a while. I mean, before I think of it, it'll be 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this Guzman now you were talking about, I don't know how he... He had a daughter. There was a family that lived across from us, and they had contracted tuberculosis, and the father died, and the mother died, and a 16-year-old daughter died. The older girl, her sister, Avdotya, lived with a married Pete Pavla of the Pavla family.
Mm-hmm.
And their progeny were Anne and Mike. And Avdotya died of TB. Then the youngest daughter, how on earth, I mean, whether the man was her godfather or what, but she went to live with this Guzma, and she used to call him Papa.
Hmm.
But she went to live with this Guzma, and he took care of her just like a father, you know. And she married someone in Port Lyons, not Port Lyons then, it was the Bognecht then. And she eventually...